Hey, this is Asia Dang.
And this is Laura Varney, and you're listening to Heavy Topics with Lightweights.
Welcome, y'all.
Oh, welcome.
We're back.
I want to say that yes, last week's podcast with Megan, if you guys logged in early, there were some issues with the episode and we had to re-upload it. So if it sounded like it started in the middle of the episode, rewind. You missed a lot of interesting conversation with Megan. So go back to it. It's about, I think the title is Owning Up to Your Own White Supremacy. And it was one of my favorite episodes, but also Megan's like one of my best friends. So I really loved talking to her. So that's all I wanted to say about that situation. But how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah, you look like, are you in a sports bra or bathing suit?
I'm in a sports bra. Yeah. Always.
So we should talk about this week's episode, eh?
Yeah, this was a good one. Very interesting. I wasn't sure what to expect when you told me that you were bringing on someone to talk about like anti-mask when it came to coronavirus. I was like, what is this going to be like? All I kept flashing back to are those videos that I keep seeing of the woman they call Karen, who's like fighting with someone in the store about having to wear a mask.
I'm this is what makes me excited about this podcast is that we're having conversations about this, but in a respectful way. Mm-hmm. And Shanna, who is speaking with us, is also respectful in a sense where she's not one of those people that goes into a grocery store without wearing a mask and gets offended when she's asked to wear a mask. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's really cool because...
Honestly, if people like her went to those like city hall meetings, you see these of people like yelling like, this is Trump's America or this is God, like this isn't God's doing or stuff like that. If people were to come to the city halls and converse in a way that Shanna did, where it's not so much about anti-mask, but in a way where it's like, okay, this is happening now, but how about also instead taking sugary drinks out of our schools or also, implementing more health efficient whatevers. I think the conversation, but of course I also don't think those people that are yelling that kind of stuff at the city hall,
they're not worried about diet.
They're not worried about diet and health. But I was quiet most of the time because I was not really sure what I wanted to say. And it's also tricky because I feel like you, me, and our listeners are also very pro-health. So everything that she brought up, we've known, but we haven't tied it into coronavirus.
Right. We didn't make that connection. So that was really interesting. And I started to realize the more and more we were talking, I'm like, when it comes to personal training, I have considered like the mask on and what that means for my clients. And like, we've had that dialogue together, but, I hadn't focused so much on the actual connection between the two. So it was really good to talk to her about that. I love her stance and the points that she brings up because I think it's a great, just like the perfect person to be on our podcast. Cause I think one of the reasons why the podcast is effective in, providing information is because we have a tendency to bring on people who have strong opinions, but are also able to listen to other people and understanding of the other side, right, which like you were saying a minute ago, isn't the case a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important to note that she does have a very strong opinion on what she thinks, but she's also like, I understand why you might do X, Y, and Z, and that's okay too. Here's what I think and why I think, and here are the facts. And
I really appreciate that. She said this, that she's not here to convince people of her thoughts. And I'm definitely not going to stop wearing a mask, even though I'm healthy and, you know, I take care of myself and all that stuff. But yeah, that's kind of just how you have to talk to people who view things differently, is that you cannot speak to people in a sense where you're trying to force them to change their mind. That's not how you talk to people. And that's not how you get your thoughts across. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was a good one. I do have to say,
you guys hear this.
I have been wearing a mask while working out, because even though I work out in a private gym, there's still going to be people around.
Different. That's
and
different.
It was very, like, I don't know, maybe like 8 people versus before the lockdown and everything, it was like upwards of 20. So they've since, you know, kind of cut the classes in half, and we don't move around the gym anymore. We kind of just stay in our little box. And it was really hard to breathe for a little bit, but honestly, I went running. I've been working out for about 2 weeks in the gym, and it's very safe. I feel very safe there. I went running yesterday, and it's like improved my cardio.
Yeah, for sure.
Which is kind of cool.
I have a client who is in her 70s with a deviated septum and wears her mask while we train. And I'm just like I'm talking to her and providing instruction. I'll have to step away to breathe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're a badass, because she never pulls her mask off. So.
I know. Yeah, I don't know. So this is a really interesting conversation. But yeah, I feel like the people that listen to this podcast are kind of already familiar with the points that Shanna brings up. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of cool to bring everything kind of full circle to see how like your health really does affect everything.
Also, I think that since coronavirus, my emotions have been like up and down, like a roller coaster ride. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. And having conversations like this, where it's very logical and fact-based, calm me down a little bit. Because I'm like, everything's going to be okay eventually.
Yeah. I mean, the only problem is that, like we keep on saying, people don't have these conversations. That is what worries me.
Yeah.
You know, but that worries me with everything, every positive topic.
Not just this. Yeah, totally.
Not just this. But yeah.
Okay, cool. Give it a listen, you guys. Oh, let's see. Do we have any new reviews?
Do we?
The friends you never knew you needed.
I love the titles of
I know, they're so
what are they called? Reviews. They're so cute.
It's from Kendra_Chi? Chi? C-H-I?
Okay. Chi.
Or could it be shy like Chicago?
Or Chicago like West. Chicago West. Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
Forget it. Who knows? Okay. Asia and Laura, I'm here and I hear you. Thank you for bringing heavy conversations into our everyday lives. Listening to your pod is like listening to the friends you never knew you needed. Aw, you gals are able to break down a hard topic and ask the questions many of us may be afraid to ask. I love your versatility. P.S. Your sound quality is just fine. Having it not always be perfect makes this pod more relatable and makes me feel like I'm in the conversation with you. Stay healthy. Kendra, I love you. Come be our friend.
Also, I just love how we have such cool hip listeners that they abbreviate podcast.
Pod. From now on, if someone asks me what I'm doing, I'm not recording a podcast. I'm recording a pod.
Yeah, I'm just recording my pod, so excuse me. I have
NBD.
NBD.
To record my pod.
All right, everyone. Spiel.
As always, remember to follow us at Heavy Topics. Subscribe to the podcast, rate and review, because clearly we love your reviews.
I mean, clearly we're killing it in your eyes. In your eyes, you guys are already listening.
This pod is killing it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We will be linking all of Shanna's resources in the show notes for you to do your own research. But again, I feel like these are things that you already know.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Ciao.
Bye.
I would like to start by saying that I'm not a health professional because I want to avoid any like lawsuits or anything. And I also want to make it just clear that I'm not here to change anyone's mind. I don't want to be responsible for someone's health risks. My goal and why I wanted to do this is to help people understand facts from like real sources. Because I think the problem is that people are just taking information from wherever they're taking it, and they're not asking why. And so the bigger situation is not being anti-mask or pro-mask. It's really, what are you agreeing to and what are you actually doing and why are you doing it? Because the information that, like, let's say you take it from the news is incorrect. It's only like a tiny microfraction of actually the big picture. And I want to read off facts from the World Health Organization, from the CDC, that if you just go to the website and you dig a little bit, you see it and no one's reporting it because everybody has their own agendas. And so people are compromising their own health, and we're building a world that is not healthy. Everyone's focused on the wrong thing, and it's a very fear-based world. And if you really look at it, because one of the companies that I work with is an organic kids company, what is going on for schools and the world that we're building for kids to grow up in is, it makes me want to cry. I don't even have kids, and it makes me want to cry because it's horrific. And we are walking around in a world with fear, and it's wrong. And I get very angry and passionate about it. So it's not that I'm anti-mask. It's that I'm anti-ignorance, and people are just being ignorant to what is actually going on. And that makes me mad. So I don't know if that flies in the face of why you asked me to be here, but it just makes me mad that people are not asking questions.
Well, I mean, that's exactly why I wanted you on. I mean, I saw that in your Instagram stories, how you were kind of telling people to kind of just like think further into the whole mask situation, which I thought was really interesting. And definitely we've had a couple people on that are very much like, you have to wear a mask, like you have to. So, I mean, and this podcast is all about like talking to people that have different beliefs than us. So that's really the only agenda here, is just to kind of have a meaningful conversation with someone who we don't necessarily agree with as of right now, but your purpose as well is to kind of just get your points across without, while also inspiring people to just, I guess, do your own research.
Is right. And do what you feel good doing. It's just that everyone's just doing what they hear and not necessarily, there's no reason behind it, except everyone else is doing it. This is what they're saying, but they're not actually reading into what is actually true. So it's not what people are saying. It's what is actually the whole picture from all the different sources and understanding the agendas behind them. Then you can agree and do what is right for you. But the conversation needs to be brought to a bigger picture.
But what got you, I guess, inspired to dig a little more about, well, first of all, you believe coronavirus is real or no?
Yes. I mean, okay. The virus is real. The virus is actually, it is contagious. It's not deadly, as stated on the World Health Organization website. And the reason why people are dying, and then I'm going to go into who is actually dying, but the reason why people are dying is it's an inflammation response in their body, and why they have inflammation I can go into as well, but those are the facts. Is that it is real, it is contagious, it's not deadly, and don't get me wrong, I feel very bad for the people who have died from it, but it's because there's so much miscommunication, and what we're doing is not necessarily what we actually need to do to prevent it from hurting people. Coronavirus is actually a flu. Coronavirus existed before the coronavirus. It actually is influenza. So the flu is actually a coronavirus. The coronavirus there's like 20 different versions of it. And so when people talk about influenza, which by the way, kills 650,000 people every year, that is a coronavirus.
But so when you say that it's not deadly, but people are dying from it, like, can you go into that a little deeper? Because I don't totally understand what you mean by that.
This is according to the World Health Organization. As of July, they stated on their website that the risk of dying is 0.6%.
Right. So it's just that the risk is very low.
The risk is very low unless you have because let's look at who is actually dying. 0.9% of the deaths so far, this is actually on the CDC website, had no pre-existing health condition, meaning 99.1% had other health conditions, including cardiovascular disease, diabetes, chronic respiratory disease, hypertension, and cancer. And I want you to understand, and you can go, and I recommend that all your listeners go to the website. They report weekly the age groups, the demographics, all of that, who is dying. How they classify it is, it's called PIC, people that died of pneumonia, COVID, and influenza. So it is actually not broken down into COVID. It is actually classified on their website, the people that die of one of those three things. And if 99.1% of them have a comorbidity, and this has been very public, that they have been told to classify it as dying of COVID. And there have been many doctors that have come out and said, this is wrong. It is not dying of it, it's dying with it. And then if you really dig further as to who is actually dying, so there have been 525,000 deaths worldwide. Remember at the beginning, I said 650,000 people die every year of the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So 7.7 million, oh, I'm sorry, 12 million people have been infected, 7.7 million have recovered, and 4.4 million have a mild condition. Now let's look at the age groups.
By the way, I just want to say that all of Shanna's resources are going to be in the notes as well.
Yes, I have links to all of them, and they're mostly from the World Health Organization and the CDC. And so if you look at it, something like over 90% of people that have died have been over the age of 65. And the reason why that is because of these comorbidities. And it's not that they're more easily infected. It's that when you get older, and you guys are very young, so you're talking to someone who's 52, but as you get older, our body systems get tired. They run down. And when these people grew up, the people that are 65 and older, there was not all this information on what actually contributes to disease, which research now shows that all disease stems in the gut. So when these people were growing up, they grew up thinking that that margarine is actually healthy for you, or corn oil, which is one of the things that actually causes severe inflammation in people, which is what is contributing to the high African American deaths or sicknesses and deaths. And so these people grew up in that time, and so their bodies have broken down so much that their risk of inflammation in their body And if that you have inflammation, it is very difficult to fight it off, which is why all these ventilators are needed. So, you know, understanding all of that, you have to really hear, listen, and do research to who is disseminating this information that people are picking up bits and pieces of. Because there are many different players here. And I'm just going to break in and say, I am not a health professional. I just happen to do my own research. And it's all very fact-based. And I'm also not anti-mask or pro-mask. I am pro-health. And so I really want people, and pro-informed. I want people to be conscious and to do their own research. So I want you to hear all these different players that people are taking, like the news is taking bits and pieces of information from. So there's the CDC, which is the Center of Disease Control. Disease control. So their job is to control disease, which means that they're going to err on the side of caution because their job is to control disease. Then there's the World Health Organization, which has the word health in it, which is why sometimes when you hear like two different things from that are being reported and they sound like they fly in the face of each other, it's because they're coming from two different angles. One is talking about health and the other is talking about disease. It's just like how doctors are here to fix a problem when your body has a problem. And when you talk about like functional doctors or people who are into like Chinese medicine and things, they're trying to actually prevent it. So they're talking about building your health. Then, because there's additional players, now enter the government, who is trying to take in this information, but they also have an agenda, because their agenda is they just put 40 million people to unemployment. Many who have lost their businesses that they worked their entire life for. And those people will never gain back that business. They lost their life savings. Many people have committed suicide because they are financially distraught. So there's the government who now owes it to people to, or feels, you know, has that responsibility they feel to do something about this disease that they said was so deadly, and make it, you know, so that it never is out there, or you know, that it doesn't hurt anybody or whatever. They have to prove this to them. So I understand their side, but then there's like the health experts, and I use that term very loosely, like Dr. Fauci, who actually has financial interest in this because of the partnerships with Big Pharma, which are the people that make vaccines. There's research that actually shows that his link to Big Pharma. Then there's the Big Pharma. So then there's the Big Pharma, who, you know, are like, if they, you know, if people, of course they're mandating vaccines. How much money is in it for these people? In fact, when you go to a doctor, they actually, like if you go to like a psychiatrist or something, I went once many, many, probably like over 20 years ago. The guy listened to me for 20 minutes and then he prescribed to me Zoloft. What are you fucking kidding me? So when you go to a doctor, and in fact, I was in the hospital for a hip replacement and I was in there for a week. It was the best experience I've ever had. So if you ever have to go to the hospital, Cedars is awesome. But every half hour, they came in and asked, do you want pain medication? Do you want pain medication? I didn't take any pain medication. I was there except when they did the surgery. Because I actually said to the doctors, pain is actually good. It tells our bodies that something is wrong. And in fact, why people think that they have so much depression is that they're unable to experience pain.
Or emotion, period. And it's like, emotion. Why we don't need to, I can totally understand what you're saying on this topic. It's like, we shouldn't constantly be blocking out our emotions with pharmaceuticals because then we can't understand them.
And in fact, when we have bad emotions, it's not actually bad. It is actually telling you that something is wrong that you actually need to think about, not mm-hmm. go and look at Instagram about. Like, the world is so distracted, which is why all of this is like blowing up and why I'm so passionate about this, is that we're living in a world that is full of distraction. And so much is about, like, you know, take a pill, you know, I can't sleep because of this. Now I'm going to take a pill. We don't know how to sleep, how to heal, how to address our emotions, how to actually get conscious, how to be still. How many people actually spent time today to be still? And can you sit with yourself and be still for 10 minutes, half an hour, and not pick up your phone? I challenge people to actually sit with what is going on in your mind and hear it objectively so that you can actually realize that you're thinking, because we're filled with so much noise and so much distraction that we can't hear ourselves. We can't make quality decisions that for the long term, you know, you guys are young and I'm sure your listeners are young. Yesterday I was 28. I'm 52. My parents have died. I have an autoimmune disorder. You know what an autoimmune disorder is? Which something like over 90% of people have. It's your body attacking itself. And you know why? Because our minds attack ourselves.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot to think about. I mean, I really appreciate you taking it there, just as far as like sitting and being in tune with yourself and trying to understand how you feel physically and emotionally. You know, I'm a personal trainer and I do some nutrition work with clients, and
I always tell my clients, like, don't be scared of feeling hungry or feeling something. Like, we're so scared of like the way we feel. And then we just want to, when it comes to hunger, just as an example, throw a snack at it. You know what I mean? Or like, and to have an immediate fix, you're feeling sad. Like you said, oh, pop a pill. And it's like, take a step back. I love that you say that. Take a step back. Don't pick up your phone, like sit with it and understand the feeling and then go from there. And that's just, I mean, it's a really, really profound point that you're making.
It's because this is a larger conversation than a pandemic. There is a pandemic going on, and it's called, we are unable to think. That we have become a society of people who are trained to be unconscious and we're building with every choice that we make. And everything that we listen to and not question, we're building our future world day by day by lack of choice. Whatever feelings that you're having and you're not addressing, or you're taking a pill for, that autoimmunity, you may feel fine now. I felt great 10 years ago. I wake up every day. I have to deal with things that I wouldn't want anyone to deal with. And a large part of it is because I was unable to be conscious and be with myself. And that's why I'm so passionate about this, because I walk outside and I see people who are outside, there's nobody around them, and they're wearing a fucking mask. In fact, some people are like running with a mask on. Sometimes it's like when I go running, it's like 7 a.m. I want to read you something that is actually from the New England Journal of Medicine. We know wearing a mask outside healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from infection. public health authorities define a significant exposure to COVID-19 as face-to-face contact within 6 feet of a patient or symptomatic COVID-19 that is sustained for at least a few minutes, and some say more than 10 minutes or even 30. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space is therefore minimal. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic.
Which also, by the way, I think is understandable because of what you said before, where it's like, we're watching the news, we're reading the news, and it's coming from different sources and everyone has an agenda. So if you're not a person who takes the time to like dive really deep and do the research on your own, which I'm guilty of that in this situation for sure, I have not been doing that, then the commentary is terrifying. And so you just say, well, at least for the people who are wearing masks all the time, we say, I would rather err on the side of caution. So fuck it, I'm gonna wear a mask all the time. You know what I mean?
So wearing a mask, and as a trainer, Laura, you should understand, recycled air increases CO2 in the body, decreases the oxygen that you're able to actually take in, and slows down your breathing, which actually inhibits your immune system, which is the one thing that should be the thing people are talking about to ward off. And I'm not just saying getting it, because many people have it, as we know, who are asymptomatic, which is really about they are strong and healthy. And so it doesn't affect them, because as I said, as the World Health Organization reported, the risk of dying is 0.6%. So let's see. So the CDC has said that for every documented infection in the United States, there are 10 other cases on average that had gone unrecorded, probably because they were very mild or asymptomatic. As the CDC said that. So what I'm trying to say is we're actually breaking down our health by not doing our own research and not actually like making quality decisions. Because if we follow what the World Health Organization is saying, even if you believe in masks, which is fine, like, you know, wear a mask when you go to the store and wear a mask when you're like on a bus. But if you're running outside or walking your dog, breathe, like go out and breathe air. In fact, take lots of deep breaths and leave your phone at home and realize that you're alive, that this world is passing you by, that in nature, you know, the CDC, if you do further research, it is the disease is passed by droplets. It is, and maybe if somebody is sneezing or coughing. So it's not, you don't walk by somebody or walk in air that they walked in 5 minutes ago and get sick. So what are you actually doing by wearing a mask? And so let's talk about herd mentality. Herd mentality is when people see something and they don't question it and they just join in. And it just becomes like, then, you know, oh, or I don't want to look different. And so when a certain quantity, herd mentality happens like even on like on Instagram.
I was about to say, herd mentality sounds like Instagram mentality. See someone do it, you better do it. And if other people don't join in, they're going to be canceled for it. So.
Or there's like a, you know, you guys have far surpassed this, but like if you reach a certain point, like if you get like 10,000 follows, then suddenly your growth rate compounds. So you'll more easily get to 20,000 than you did 10,000. And when if you get to like 50,000, you'll more easily grow to 100,000 because of herd mentality. People are like, why are people liking this? Or, you know, why are people following this account? And then they'll just follow along. The same thing is going on with the masks. And a lot of it is people are afraid to be shamed. You know, we're so worried about what other people are thinking that we've forgotten that we actually can think too.
I definitely think that shame plays a role. I think that for my, I'm just speaking for myself personally, I wear a mask to protect other people if I'm close by. But I also do, in the beginning, I was not wearing masks to go walk my dog because I'm like, I never get even within 10 feet of another person. If someone starts to, if I see them coming close, I move and switch to the other side of the street, no big deal. But because I was like, oh my God, I'm the asshole not wearing a mask. Now, when I go walk my dog, I always just put one on to be safe.
You know what? Why? Because I would rather be a healthy asshole than and not have it, so I don't have a risk of passing it to people, than actually just doing something because I don't want to look different. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so are you saying that by wearing a mask, you are making yourself unhealthy?
What I said is that wear a mask in a store, if you're on a bus, if you are unable to keep that 6 foot distancing, and I'm not going to be the asshole who like, you know, butts up against the store manager and like, you know, I'm not going to wear a mask. Like, I'm not going to be that person. But if you're outside and there is nobody around you, or you have the ability to have 6 feet distance between people, then I would not wear a mask. I don't, because I personally want to breathe and I remain healthy, and I actually know the facts of what spreads it. So, you know, I don't walk next to people. I wear a mask when I go into a store and then quickly take it off. I work from home. So, you know, I'm not like trying to go hang out with people, which is fine if you want to do that. Like, again, I'm not here to like tell people to change people's mind, to like tell people to do one thing or the other. I'm just telling you to do your own research, understand what your values are, and then make a decision. Because if you do that, then you'll be fine. But understand. So I don't know if you got this on the recording, but you know, if you have kids, what they're mandating or what they're saying that they want to do for schools is they want to cordon them off so that there are very few students that get to get together, like actually, you know, be at school at once. When they go outside, they actually have drawn circles so that they have their own play area. There's so many different frightening things. In China, they're like disinfecting kids, like spraying them with disinfectant before they walk in the school. I can't.
So what are your thoughts on kids going to school in August? Do you think they should wait, or do you think they should go to school?
Kids have a very small chance of getting it. And so, you know, honestly, and I didn't even know this existed until I started working for an organic children's brand, but, you know, there are such things as nature schools. There are outdoor schools, literally. Like, this is so, it's so odd. I do think online learning is great, but I think that there should be community schooling, whatever that is to people, so that kids are able to be together without a mask and learn in what is now proven by science to be like the actual way that kids will want to learn. Kids don't want to learn in this regular school system, okay? You think that putting them in a mask for 8 hours a day, making them sit in a classroom, which many schools don't have AC, and then telling them to learn is going to make them want to learn more?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so, you know, let's actually realize what is actually being communicated when you wear a mask. We are, as humans, like from the caveman days, we are designed to fear things that we can't conceptualize. When you block part of your face, which is like your mouth where you show expression, our body's natural cortisol raises because it's a natural subconscious fear-based thing that goes on in our body. And when our cortisol rises, that means our stress levels are rising inside of us, whether we're aware of it or not, which means your heart rate increases, your breathing slows and becomes shallow, again, inhibiting your immune system. So you think that when you do that, my dog is afraid of me when I put on a mask. You think when kids now have to wear masks and see teachers in masks, what is going through their heads? Like, you know, again, this is not a pro-mask or anti-mask conversation. This is like really understanding the facts and then seeing the bigger picture of the world that we are creating day by day. Because as I said, coronavirus is influenza. It is morphing every day. And so it's going to be back in some other form, shape, or whatever. The flu killed more people and kills more people every year. So that's coming back. What are we going to do? Like, every time that happens, we're going to shut down businesses, cause more people to be unemployed, cause more havoc. Like, really, like, let's just take this and think about, what is this fear-based world that we're living in? We're all going to die. Do you want to live every day of that life in fear that something that has a very low likelihood of happening happen to you?
I agree with that to an extent, but here's the problem. It's like, there's two ways to look at that. I'm all about saying, you know what? I want to live my life to the fullest. Fuck it. Maybe I'll get sick. Maybe I won't. I'm going to get sick somehow, some way, either way. I want to enjoy my life and live my life. And then there's another side of that that's like, yeah, but because there's so much unknown right now, because this is, at least it seems as if it's new and we don't know a lot of the facts behind it yet. I think a lot of people are like, wait it out and then we know more and then we can take the proper measures and know how to handle it. You know what I mean? And like, why would I risk myself getting it? And sure, if I get it, I could be fine. But like my friend with the autoimmune disease or my friend who has a low weak immune system, what if I give it to them? Like, then that's a problem. And like, you know what I mean? So I do understand both sides of that.
But but all the research that I just spouted out shows that the incidence and chance of that is very low, number one. And number two, their ability to fight it off, even if with an autoimmune condition, depending on what that is, if they're young and they're taking the right measures to build their immunity, is very low. And again, I'm not saying like go stand next to somebody, go stand in a crowded room and, you know, breathe on everybody. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying do your research, then realize that when you go outside and you're like running or like whatever, that why are we seeing people wearing masks when they're in their car by themselves? Why do you see how often people are like touching their faces now, which actually spreads more germs? Do you see the people who are like walking around with masks who they're not even covering their nose? Number one. Number two, what about their eyes? Because your eyes actually pick up a lot of germs as well. This is what I'm saying, is that just people are not putting one plus one together. They're just taking little bits and pieces and then just taking that as fact. There are 3 trillion viruses in every human. I'm sorry, 300 trillion. 300 trillion different viruses, and we're able to fight them off because we have a healthy immune system. Let's talk about African Americans who in the US have this like increased rate of death and morbidity. The reason why is because of their inability, their high inflammation and diet mostly, because this was done. I actually just heard this on Sean Stevenson's podcast, which he has a great health podcast, but he had Dr. Kate Shanahan on there, which I'll give you the website, but, or the link, but she said she actually researched this, and in Africa, the actual case and morbidity rate is 1/100th of what it is in the US. So it's not that African Americans have a higher chance of getting it or dying from it. It's what they're actually, what's contributing to it, which is their health, their lack of immunity. And so, you know, we could go into a whole nother conversation about what depletes your immunity and your increases your chance of inflammation in your body. So if all disease stems in your gut, and when you have disease, it causes inflammation in your body. And that's caused mostly from diet. So if you're eating packaged goods, soy and vegetable oils, it causes metabolic dysfunction. And that causes obesity, diabetes, hypertension, the things that I read before that actually are what people are dying of. 99.1% of people are dying of when they are reported to have died with COVID. Fat actually causes inflammation in your body. And I'm not talking about, you know, oh, I have a roll in my stomach. No, I'm talking about when fat is in your body, like when you have a overabundance of it, it prevents your body from functioning normally. Like if you have a cut, have you ever cut your finger and you, like within 24 hours, your finger, your skin will actually start healing. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
And that's because our bodies have this natural ability to heal. But if we're clogging it with low quality food, chemicals, you know, breathing in toxins from bleach, cleaners that are, you know, made of chemicals, our bodies cannot function well. So we live in this modern society where we're not thinking, we're not conscious. Our bodies are like clogged because, you know, it can't even like, it doesn't even know what is like natural air anymore because of all the chemicals that are around it. And we wonder why we get sick. Our bodies are meant to heal. You research, if you really like do further research into health, the amount of people that have cured cancer in themselves through food and diet and lifestyle change.
Low stress
is huge. And as I said, autoimmune disorders are your body attacking itself. We're a society filled with these wonderful, wonderful conveniences. I mean, how great is it that I'm talking to you guys and, you know, I don't even know where you live, Laura. I know where Asia is, but, you know, it's like, it's so great. And yet, you know, if too much of anything, when it's not understood the larger effects of it, is so bad for you. So Asia, I know you're very passionate about the environment. You know, the coronavirus actually is an animal caused, or it comes from animals, which because of all of the pollution, I have this, I actually just wrote an article on it, but I have to look it up. I'll send it to you. But because of all the pollution and the climate change, the biodiversity of the planet has decreased. And so things, different viruses like SARS and things like that are now like coming to our system, and we're unable to fight it off because of this lack of biodiversity in the ecosystem. And I'm not very educated on that side of it, but understanding everything is like linked, and the bottom line about fighting any disease, because as I said, you know, this COVID is going to morph into something else. In order to enable us to fight all this stuff and to really build our health and ability to mentally and physically fight it, it's to understand the big picture of all these different things. You know, I can't imagine all the chemicals that people have brought into their homes because of their fear of this disease. Wow, if you have pets and animals and you're putting chemicals on your floor, first of all, understand that that also disrupts their endocrine system, but yours as well, because you're breathing it in. So, you know, those things are inhibiting you and may make you more likely to get any sort of disease.
And there are so many great accessible all natural cleaners now.
Totally.
I also just want to touch on the, what you were talking about, the lack of biodiversity in our planet now, because that directly correlates with the lack of biodiversity in our gut. One small example of that is the change in the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. You know, way back in the day when we were hunters and gatherers, people were eating so many different types of plants and different nuts and berries and like all different parts of an animal, all different organs, you know. And now, because of the increase in processed foods and just the decrease in diversity of fish and animals and plants that we're eating, our ratio of omega-6 to omega-3 is so drastically different. Whereas it used to be, omega-6 intake has pretty much always been higher than omega-3, but the disparity wasn't that large. Whereas now it's like there's such a huge gap, which is one of the reasons why so many people, obviously we take omega-3 supplements, which is great, but like getting that from your food is always the preferred way, right? And so that correlation from like lack of biodiversity on the planet to lack of biodiversity in our gut creates not only a weaker immune system, more inflammation, you know what I mean? And less serotonin, because the diversity in our gut helps us to, you know, what is it, like 90% of serotonin is originated in our gut, right? So if we don't have healthy bacteria and healthy flora in our gut, then that directly affects our mood.
I heard this, that most people think that saturated fat is bad for you. And she said that actually this was something that corporations put into place way back in, I think it was like the 70s, because the cotton seed oil farms had to get money from Procter & Gamble. So the government put out a warning that saturated fat was bad for you, which is why now, you know, the most used oil is canola oil, which actually causes... she said, actually, like even at Whole Foods, that is what they use at their hot bar.
I've read that on their little, they have like the little note, sticky note things that say the ingredients on each of their items. And I've read that before.
That's horrifying.
So upsetting, yeah.
Because that's what causes metabolic disease dysfunction, which is what, you know.
Interesting because it's like, and I tell this to most of my clients, like there's always
a macronutrient that, you know, at some point in history is the devil, right? Like at one point it was fats, then it's carbs, that, you know, and it's like, for the most part, you're never going to hear something negative about a Mediterranean diet, which is pretty simple, you know, whole grains. If you eat grains, right? Lots of fish, occasional meat if you eat meat, lots of nuts, berries, fruits, veggies, olive oil. Like very
natural.
Not restrictive, but like whole nutrient dense foods. And I think it's like, I think that's just, like you said, marketing, and there's always some type of economic financial reason behind those ideas that are put into our heads.
Totally. And this is why, whatever the case is, whether we're talking about coronavirus, whether we're talking about our health, everybody just should ask why and then do their own research and then make decisions that are aligned with your own values. Because it's, you know, it's not that somebody is right or wrong, but we need to be a society of people who are making conscious decisions that are not in the moment, but that look at the whole picture of the life that we are creating. Our lives are not forever. And if you've ever had anyone die in your life, and you actually like take that in. One moment my mom was alive and the next minute she was dead. Like, we are all dying, quite honestly. And I personally don't want to live a fear-based life. I'm not going to live a stupid life and, you know, be like, whatever, fuck everyone. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I want to live a conscious life, make conscious decisions, be around people who are making conscious decisions, be around people who are healthy, who are talking about health, not disease. And so we can all be in this together. This shouldn't be, you know, I'm right, you're right, you know, that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just understanding everybody's agenda. Like I said, you know, the government, they're making certain decisions because they have, because that's what the government does. But we as a people can speak up against that. We can write letters. We can take community action. We can make our own choices. And when we do that, we are stronger as individuals, as a society, and as a nation. You know, we're in this together with the world. It's not us, them, you know, they did that, whatever. It shouldn't be, at least. We should be making universal health decisions, universal things that are good for people. Not good for big pharma, not good for, you know, these corporations that are killing us. I don't know if you know who Dr. Mark Hyman is.
Yes, of course.
He was speaking about how he was he wanted to give a talk or something about health at some university. And they told him that if he was going to talk about this particular subject, it was something about like, I'm not quite sure what it was about, but it was a black university, a black women's university. They said they couldn't have him come because the Coca-Cola was sponsoring the women's basketball team there. So these large corporations that are killing us with chemicals have large dollars that they're paying the government, they're paying, you know, health professionals, they're paying and holding captive universities and things like that, that are now then affecting the livelihoods of students who don't know to ask or can't see the big picture, and we become a society that thinks it's normal to have vending machines filled with sugary syrup. Like, we just have to become conscious of the world that we live around and make quality decisions, whatever those decisions are. I'm not right. I'm not a health professional. I'm just a very passionate person who wants, before I die, to be able to help people understand that your health is in your hands. I told you I have an autoimmune disorder, and it causes a lot of difficulty in my life, and I work every day passionately to try to reverse it. And I've come a long way, but people don't have to suffer as I did. And it starts with just realizing, taking that space. Viktor Frankl said, you know, between stimulus and response, there's a space, and that space allows you the freedom to choose. We have the ability to give ourselves space, room to breathe, and actually just realize we have a choice to back away from everything, to not pick up our phone when we just get prompted, to just go outside and be with our dogs and go, wow, this is amazing. Like, I live in this world and someday I'm not gonna be here. Like, look at the sky. Look at the birds outside. Look at just how beautiful this life is. I don't want to live it making decisions based out of fear. I don't want to wake up and, you know, I don't want to wake up in a world where I see kids having to wear masks and being afraid.
I mean, I definitely agree that we live in a fear-based world. I mean, that's what sells newspapers and that's what gets the clicks, right? And on our podcast, we're very vocal about being extremely untrustworthy about big pharma, big business, and all that stuff. So I think on that level, we definitely agree upon, and it's your kind of overarching value of just understanding kind of, how do I want to put this? Like understanding your health, right? But for me, my concern is, you and Laura have been talking about biodiversity, and we know that the biodiversity in our world is crumbling because of climate change, and it is something that our human beings are causing. We know this 100%, but even though we know this and we know the damage we're doing to biodiversity and everything and the ecosystem and how that affects us, we still cannot get our shit together enough to fix the problem. And
we're making it worse, Asia.
Right, right.
The pollution, we're not even allowed to bring recycled bags to the store anymore.
I have been. I've actually never once used a plastic bag. So I think maybe it's because I try to shop locally and support my local grocers or go to the farmer's market, but I've actually not had a problem with that.
But at Whole Foods, they don't allow you to, and that's a shame.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I honestly, sometimes I like, with my conspiracy head, I'm like, I wonder if Big Oil actually kind of started this whole thing, because most of us are moving away from like driving around in plastic bags and do like trying to step away from like oil-based things. So I'm like, is that a conspiracy? But so yeah, I agree. It's kind of like it was making it better in the terms where like our air was fresher in a sense after people stopped driving, but now we're making it worse with all the trash with the masks and the plastic bags and all that stuff. But it's just like, I think my problem or my concern is, if we cannot trust humans to make the right decision with something that is so visible and tangible, like we know that we are ruining our environment, this is what we know, that we cannot trust humans to fully understand on something that they do not fully understand, such as the virus. I think that that's mostly my concern, if that made any sense.
It does, but so if the news can fear-based make people put on something that is just like put on a mask, then the news can also talk about how do you build your immunity. In fact, we're going to mandate that packaged goods are no longer allowed, or that you are now not allowed to use plastic trash bags. Like, not the news can't do that, but the government can.
But the reason why government will never is because those are the lobbyists who put them into office.
But that's what I'm saying is so we do have the ability to inform people, but because the system is the way that it is now up to each of us as individuals not to make because quite honestly, they've mandated it, but it's people still aren't following it. You know, it's not 100%, and it's not solving the problem, which quite honestly is the real situation here. You know, the first thing that I read from the WHO or from the New England Journal of Medicine is that it doesn't prevent it. And so what it does is it gives people a false sense of security who are then smoking, eating trash, you know, or processed foods, putting trash in their body. You know, they're not breathing, they're not exercising. So, and they're thinking they're protected. To me, that's way more frightening than making people be responsible for their own well-being. And when you really look at, you know, again, who is actually getting sick and dying, and something like over 90% are over the age of 65, then, you know, let's start reporting some real facts rather than, you know, the cases are increasing. Well, yeah, because, you know, you're increasing testing. And in actuality, the death rate has actually decreased. And again, you know, I'm not saying, like, I feel very bad for the people who've died. I have a friend whose mother died. But understand what's actually killing people. And then you can make quality decisions and be put to the responsibility and accountability for your own health.
But I guess for me, it's like Laura mentioned earlier, it's not just your own health, right?
On the
assumption that this is contagious, you're now responsible for the people around you as well.
No, they're responsible for, you know, if they have a high risk, they need to be taking measures to prevent that risk, whatever that is. You know, don't go to large public places. But there is another statistic that said 88% of people that stayed inside during the quarantine were more likely to have died or been hospitalized post-quarantine. Because they weren't going out and moving their body and exercising and actually doing things that build their health. And again,
that's interesting because I've literally never seen so many people out running and walking than I did during quarantine.
Right, but they weren't the people that were hospitalized and sick. So
Right. They
were the people who were already going to gyms and exercising. So this is what I'm saying is that people that are healthy, you know, the likelihood that you're going to get it, the asymptomatic people, I didn't write the statistic down, but I'm sure Google it, the World Health Organization has said that people that are asymptomatic have a very low likelihood of passing it to anybody. That is the new research. So what they were saying before is false. So again, I'm not saying like go and rub up next to somebody. Like that's, it's not that. It's that there are so many facts and figures that people are not looking into and not seeing because they're not questioning.
Agreed. I mean, I definitely think that, I mean, this is America where our lives are based off of processed shit and bullshit, right? So there definitely needs to be a shift. And I don't know if maybe it's because we're in LA, so we don't, like, this is something we see all the time, is people are just a little bit more health conscious and we don't fully understand what's going on in the rest of the country. But I lost my train of thought with that. But yeah, I agree that people definitely need to reevaluate their own personal health for sure. But I do not agree with you in the sense that I feel like we should still kind of have respect enough for our neighbors to be more conscious about where we go, what we do.
I guess, right. I agree. Here's where I land on all of this. And I think that this conversation and like the facts that you provided and your insight on like being more present and all of this, I think it's like extremely helpful and insightful, and it opened my mind as well. Personally, what I will continue to do is wear a mask whenever I'm around other people. If I'm in my home, if I'm, you know, by myself outside, sure, I don't think it's necessary. But other than that, like, for me, it's just about, even though I understand there are facts, like the facts that you read off, I still just feel that it's too early to make a complete conclusion. And I will continue to like do that to protect the people around me and just like take the precautions. But I also, you've inspired me for sure to do more research of my own outside of like just watching the news. You know what I mean? Which is, I really like that.
And I totally respect that. Again, like my reason for wanting to be on your podcast is not to change anyone's mind. It's just to make them aware so that they can do their own research. But, you know, I'd like to, I don't know if we're wrapping this up, but I want to end this with like what actually people can, actual steps that people can do to build their immune system. Because
that's a perfect way to end. I love that idea.
There's something called our natural killer cells. And in fact, proposing with these vaccines, which is a whole nother topic, don't even get me started. But what they're proposing is increase the natural killer cells in our body. But again, it's like taking a pill for sleeping. It's like you are actually able to sleep on your own, but you can trick your body so that it doesn't know that how to go to sleep and take a pill. But you can build your own, our bodies actually manufacture their own natural killer cells, and how you can build them, so increase the amount of natural killer cells in your body, is you can go outside and take a walk. So I have, you know, this is not about meditation, but this is about owning your day and your thought. I do something, and I've talked about it for years, called active focus meditation. So it's about within an hour of waking up, you go outside and you run or walk for at least 20 minutes. If you're married or with a partner or somebody, like go on your own. Listen to your favorite theme song playlist, take your dog, and just go. And think about not all that you have to do today. Think about your highest self. Think about like, you know, what your vision is. Look at the sky, like just to breathe the fresh air. And if you do that without picking up your phone first, just go do that, your entire day will be open to not other people's problems, not other people needing you, not all the stress in your body. You will start your day with a clear mind, and it will be focused on your highest priorities in life, not your to-do list, but you will, if you do it consistently for at least 5 days, you will start to see life in a whole different perspective. It's just, it frees your mind to allow you, it shuts down your, I call it your stupid thinking brain. The one that judges you, the one that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm worried and all this stuff. And it allows your subconscious mind to rule the day, which is your emotional brain. When you do that, that's like the secret to just everything. You won't have to make yourself clear your mind. You will just have a clear mind. So do that, active focus meditation. Sleep, you know, going to bed at a proper time, whatever that time is for you. I used to go to bed at like 1 a.m. and now I make sure that I'm in bed by 10 and try to get up at the same time every day, whatever time that is for you. So, you know, try to sleep 7 to 8 hours a night and try to set yourself on a regular schedule. Those things alone will build your body's ability to have those natural killer cells. And I'm sure, Laura, you could talk more about diet and things like that, but do those two things, which are lifestyle changes, which will then allow you just the space to be conscious, to set your own priorities for life in general, and be able to look at everything from food to who is surrounding you, to the choices you make, to your body's ability to process food, information, and all of that in a healthy way. And it's a daily process. You know, some days are harder than others, but try to have like an objective view from the outside. Susan David, I linked to it in my Instagram today, did this amazing podcast with Maria Menounos. She's a Harvard professor and did this amazing TED talk about emotional agility. Having that space in your brain and doing these things that will make you healthy from the inside out gives you the emotional agility to deal with all of life's problems. This is not a mask conversation. This is a conversation about your quality of life and being able to direct your life in the way that you want to live it long term, so that at the end of your life you don't have regrets, you are healthy, you're not fighting a disease, you didn't spend your life fighting anything, so your body is able to function and not fight itself. And so that to me is how you build your health and wellness overall.
I love that.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much for speaking with us. It was really eye-opening, and we really loved some of the points you brought up just about, you know, as you said, pro-health, health in general.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you, Asia, for asking me. Thank you, Laura. Asia, I have loved you from the beginning. I think I found you on like YouTube long ago, but you are definitely an inspiration, and your independence and just you're always a bright shining light. And Laura, I don't know you very well, but if you're a friend of Asia's and you speak so you're well-spoken in the areas of health, which is something that I personally value. So I will find out more about you and investigate you and follow you.
Investigate me for sure.
Investigate. Do your research.
Do your research, girl.
Thank you guys.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.